Welcome to Share Talk. Today I've got the pleasure of speaking with Andrew Bell, who is the chairman at Regency Minings PLC. How are you today, Andrew?
I'm good, thanks, Steve.
Now, we note your RNS release today about the metallurgical coal and head of terms. Would you like to give a overview on the project there, please?
Yes, we thought it was a very interesting project when it came up, because we already in another company have an interest in manganese, which is the other major feed needed for steelmaking industry. And here's metallurgical coal, which has had a similar sort of performance this year in price to manganese, and the same demand factors apply. So we've been aware of that. The prices are much better, but the capital values haven't caught up. And we were very open to the idea of something like this when it came up. It looked as if the people were people we could work with, but this was an opportunity to get our nose in there with something that could really expand. And so we went for it.
Now, in relation to sort of wording on the RNS, several shareholders have come back and basically pointed out that you have an agreement looking like it's going to be put into place where you're going to pay the refundable cash deposit of £50,000, yeah, and then you're going to do your due diligence. What sort of diligence have you done thus far in obviously having a look at this project and obviously making that decision?
Yeah, we've done most of the paper due diligence. What we need to do is actually get out there on site and get somebody locally who we can sort of hire, who's an expert in this field, who will give us a feel for comparators and costs, and therefore act as a sort of independent view of the project, an expert view. That's a very important part of the due diligence process. And what it means, we can test the assumptions that we're making, that the management's making. But that's the only thing that's really left to do.
Okay. Was that all based on the NI 43101 report that was put out by the McGee Engineering Corporation?
The NI 43101 is extraordinarily helpful and useful, but there is nothing like seeing it on the ground. And in particular, we know that one of the assets that we are buying into is actually a preparation plant or wash plant, as you might call it, which is sort of valued by, in the opinion of the management of the company, is $4 million appropriate book value. The replacement cost would be about $12 million, and it's actually very new. And that's a valuable asset in itself, because people need to have their coal washed, because it increases the value by about $30 a ton. And we could potentially be washing it for other people. That's the plan for say, $7 or $8 a ton. And that's therefore both a source of revenue short term, and it's a really good underpinning for the asset value, because we've come in on a valuation of valuing the whole business at £1.25 million. And there's an asset, which is just one of the assets there, which is worth between $4 and $12 million.
So are you expecting, as part of your due diligence then, to obviously see a potential upside in the mine life and or the coal in place?
Yes, because we know that this is just phase one that the 43101 was done on, but there'd be a phase two covering some of the rest of the property, and there are surrounding properties which are in the hands of our partner, and there's a nearby mine that we know that would be possible to get hold of. And so there's a lot of expansion potential once you've got an operation going there.
Now, you've already touched on the price of the coal going up in line with manganese. And obviously, looking at the current prices since the start of the year, they've gone from sort of around about the $75 per ton, and it's now up at $150 per ton. Where do you foresee the coal price going?
Yes, I mean, I think on a at port, you might be getting $200 plus a ton for metallurgical coal. Selling at the sort of mine gate, you might be getting 130 or so at the moment, 140. I don't know where the coal price is going, any more than I know where the manganese price is going, because we have reasonable expertise in manganese and are involved with one of the biggest producers. That is one of the dominant factors in the market. We can make a pretty good guess of how the manganese market is looking. And from that, we can extrapolate perhaps a bit to coal. Of course, we know that there are also special factors in the United States, like the attitude of President Trump to increasing spending on infrastructure, which is going to be good for commodities, and to not over-controlling the coal and the gas industries, which is going to be good for industries like this. In addition, Goldman Sachs, for example, have put out a report where they say they expect metallurgical coal prices to remain high for some time. So that's encouraging. But even if they went back to a sustainable long-term moderate level, then we think that that's still a profitable operation, a very profitable operation.
Now, in regards to it being a profitable operation, you have said, obviously, that there could be some sort of royalty payment coming back to shareholders?
Well, from this company, we would be looking to generate cash flow, which would then be paid out to the shareholders. And we'll only have 20%, but having spoken to the 80% shareholder, there is agreement that we will have a policy, we have a shareholders agreement, that we intend to pay out money as we make it. So this is a cash generator. That's really important for us because we want that cash flow. But it also turns out to be very important for him because we understand his strategy and what he's doing. So all the shareholders are united in the fact that this is an asset that can spin off cash as well as expanding based on internally generated cash flow.
Now, in regards to funding this project, you've already touched on the shareholders agreement. Is there going to be an agreement with the shareholders in relation to funding as part of the deal for cash positive generation?
Well, we do expect that this will be self-sustaining. Now, if at some point there is a requirement for further investment, and that investment is a better use of money than we could make ourselves elsewhere, or than our partner could make elsewhere, of course we would agree to leave that money in the business rather than paying it out and expand. But having the right, having the default position being that the money gets paid out, that's a really important feature of this deal for us.
Now, I've got some questions here from shareholders in relation to your other projects. When is the Jupiter money going to be received with RRR?
That's sister company Red Rock.
Red Rock Resources.
We would expect that to be early March because that's what Jupiter has said.
Okay. In relation to the letters that have been sent out in regards to your Greenland Rare Earth project, what has the response been?
Well, we've had some contacts with people. These days people tend to send emails rather than letters, but we have had some back and forth with people. I wouldn't say that there's anything which is really live at the moment. But this is very early days. We're collecting information, and there's information about people on the ground. The people on the ground this year have collected that we are absorbing and getting in, including signs of another commodity that is actually present that we didn't expect.
Can you give our listeners a brief overview as to what's going on with all of your projects, please?
Yes, I think that's the two things that we've been speaking about in terms of picking cheap bottom of the market out of bankruptcy and similar situations. There are two of those. One of them is this coal situation. The other is Westport, and we've already put money into that and have a shareholding that that's going to increase, and that company is planning to get listed in London. And that's coal bed methane in the United States. Again, we're very excited about that. It's an asset that's come out of insolvency and is one that can where the cash flow can expand remarkably once it gets going. So though that's all pending, we'd expect news fairly shortly on that, as the contracts preparatory to listing are finalized. The existing portfolio of assets, well, we have a major nickel asset with a very large resource in Papua New Guinea, and we have the niobium tantalum asset in Greenland, which also has potentially rare earths and other things. Now, the tantalum asset has one of the biggest resources in the world, but that is a largely unexplored license. We will be looking to do a little bit more work on that and to collate the information we have and find out who's interested in doing it with us, because that's an expensive place to operate. In Papua New Guinea, we are holding on to the asset. It's important to do that. We have one of the largest lateritic nickel cobalt assets there is. And you've seen with one or two commodities this year, I'm thinking particularly of manganese and metallurgical coal, but oil itself has had a big rise. Base metals have seen quite good rises. Now, nickel can move very sharply when it moves. And just as we saw a transformation in the prospects of one or two metals as the underlying values and long-term values came out this year, so at some time, nickel will go up. And that's the time when we shall be able to do something to exploit this asset further. But meantime, the reason we kept our costs very low is so we can hold on to these assets for the good times.
Now, in relation to what you've just mentioned there, obviously you've got your main commodities, if you like. One you mentioned was cobalt there. Now, not a lot of people realise how vital and important cobalt is to the sort of underlying industries. Would you like to just expand on that?
Yes, cobalt is a really important commodity for a number of electronic uses. And as they expand, we'd expect the demand for cobalt to expand. We don't have a really good handle on that because, you can get cobalt from different sources. And a lot of it is produced as byproduct. For example, all lateritic nickel is going to have some associated with it. So the probability is that if the nickel market picks up and people start producing from lateritic deposits in Asia, then that will bring with it a certain amount of cobalt. So I don't regard the cobalt market as being something independent of our nickel production, but something that goes with it. We can't pick and choose and say, well, the cobalt price is nice and high now, so we're going to sell our cobalt. Because if the nickel price is low, we're not going to be producing or developing that project because we can't sell the nickel. When the nickel price is high, and we can, probably the cobalt price comes under pressure because so much more cobalt will be being produced worldwide. So it's a really interesting long-term story, cobalt, and it's a great value add. But our project is basically a nickel project.
It'll just lower the cost out of the ground. Obviously, the more you can sell per ton, the cheaper the project is ongoing.
A significant proportion of our revenues would come from cobalt. We just don't know how significant. But I think that cobalt is at a stable price with upside rather than downside at these prices. So it's a positive.
As you said earlier on, Andrew, it's getting in early on the cycle, getting the projects nice and cheap and seeing what happens in the future.
Sometimes... you can see something that is going to, you're getting it right at the bottom of the cycle, things are going to jump up immediately. And because it's the bottom of the cycle, you can get things with cash flow. And that, I think, is the case in sort of coal and one or two of the things we've been looking at. particularly in the energy sector at the bottom of the market. But other things are just long-term assets that are difficult to do anything with when the market isn't interested. But when that commodity comes into play again, suddenly everyone realizes the huge underlying value. And with Red Rock, somebody, you mentioned Jupiter, because one of your questioners had asked about that. Jupiter producing manganese, that was a sleeping giant hidden in our portfolio, our stake in it, because people weren't interested in manganese. Prices reached an all-time low at the beginning of this year. Now there's much greater recognition of this story, and people can see that our stake in that is extremely valuable, and the company itself is worth billions. I mean, I don't mean us. I mean Jupiter and the underlying GP mine.
You mentioned sleeping giants. Would you like to touch on Horse Hill? How is that ticking along?
We have our interest in Horse Hill, and the neighbouring Brockham well is going to be drilled soon, which will be interesting and give us some more information. Horse Hill has made its applications for permitting for testing and potential drilling, and we look forward to the progress on that, which is spring. But because there are some bigger companies that dominate the news flow and dictate the news flow on that, I don't want to be making comments about it. We will comment when they do.
It's very much a sit back and await the news flow.
Yes. Fundamentally, we think it's a really interesting story, and we expect it to be eventually a producer. Timing and the way it's structured and handled, there's a lot of things to go through, and we're very aware that when Horse Hill Development goes and makes representations to the ministry and to the council and so on, they say some very specific things, and I don't want to shoot off making random statements that may in some respects contradict what they've been saying at this stage. And I'm sure that they say quite honestly what it is that they feel just at the moment, but people have different perspectives and different outlooks as to what might happen there. And we're very aware that it interfere with them, but you know, the major operator is flow, and we are passengers.
Now, just to touch on ShareTalk and Regency Mining, you are attending the presentation evening tomorrow.
Yes.
And that's at the Forest of Arden Marriott Hotel and Country Club. Now, details are on the ShareTalk website, and we all look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been to this place before. I'm told it's a nice place. Unfortunately, I don't play golf.
Not enough time for that, is there?
No, I think maybe my first 100 years in heaven I shall get up to the scratch.
Excellent. Right, Andrew Bell, thank you very much for your time today. It's been a pleasure talking.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.